Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. And a few of the ways you can learn about how we are church together is to check out your bulletin and also the website to learn about our worship and fellowship mission and learning opportunities. If you have a question, please don't hesitate to ask someone around you. A note about worship this morning: we will be celebrating the sacrament of communion, and we will be doing so by intinction. So when you are invited, you will come forward and tear a piece of the bread from the loaf, dip it into the cup, and partake individually. If you have mobility concerns, we do have ushers who will be walking around and will be looking for you, and communion will be brought to you. If you have troubles with gluten, we do have gluten-free wafers located on the communion table. All right, so I have a whole list of announcements that other folks have given me. First, a note about mega meeting, which typically occurs on the first Tuesday of the month, but it is August and we're working with lots of vacations in the work project. So to my knowledge, I'm looking around, I believe no committees are meeting on mega meeting. They all have rescheduled times, so please contact your chairperson if you don't already know about what time that is happening. Also, you will look around and see there are a few empty places this morning. Where is everybody? Well, we had 38 senior high youth and advisors who climbed aboard the bus this morning, bound for New York City and their mission work project. So please keep them all in prayers. And if you happen to see a parent of one of those youth, let them know you're praying for them too. Also, this week, an opportunity for mission for anyone who would like to join us. We will be heading down to Salem UCC and their feeding lunch program, the Soup Kitchen. If you have never been and would like to just give it a try, please join us. We're going to leave from the parking lot here at Gates around 9:30, 9:45. So please arrive and we'll carpool, head down there, and we stay until about 1 o'clock. You don't have to have any prior knowledge of how to do or what to do. Just show up in the parking lot and we'll tell you. So you're welcome to join us. Also, you may have noticed now that if you went into what was the old office, it is not there anymore. Well, the office is, but the secretaries are not. The trustees have done a great job with some office swapping. There's a note in your bulletin telling you more. Thank you to all the trustees and volunteers who've been hard at work there. And final announcement this morning, another saint of our congregation has joined the Saints Triumphant, and we will be celebrating the life of Fred Buff on Sunday. Fred passed away on Friday at around 6 o'clock. So please join us. We have two memorial services next weekend. On Saturday is Fred's. Ginny, is that at 10 or 11? 10. Got the family back there. Fred's service will be Saturday at 10. Arlene Tandy's is Sunday at 1 o'clock. So please keep their families in your prayers. Are there any other announcements this morning? Friends, let us prepare our hearts and our minds to worship God. Thank you. Please stand if you are comfortable and able for the call to worship that is printed in your bulletin. The Spirit of God brought us and welcomes us here.
The Lord has set us down here, though our bones are tired.
Can these bones live?
Yes. Yes, the breath of God will revive us. The word of God will awaken us. The light of God will shine on us. The love of God will unite us.
Today we come together to worship God who is in the world.
We give thanks to the divine Spirit who makes all flesh new.
Please join me in the prayer of confession noted in your bulletin. Creator God, we bear the imprint of your image, the color of our skin, the shape of our bodies, our flesh, and our bones. We are torn and pulled apart by hate because our skin is not the same. We taunt and judge the shape of a body that looks different from our own. We share the image of your Son, whose flesh and body is ours, whatever skin or shape. In his humanity, we find our own, and in his family, your love. Help us remember that you do not come to us beyond the flesh, but in the flesh. I invite you to offer your silent prayers of confession. Hear this good news. God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son, so that everyone who believes may not perish but may have eternal life.
Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Thanks be to God.
And at this time, I invite my friend Cam forward, who many of our children will remember for her words during the Advent season. And I invite all of our youngest worshipers with us. I'll let you define that for yourself. How old or young you may be, you are welcome to come forward.
Good morning. Oh, boy, I'm so glad some of you came. Because when I first got here this morning, I didn't see any children. And I was like, oh, man, it's worship just isn't the same without you. And this morning, well, we're talking about some really big grown-up ideas. But I want to talk about when God comes into our lives. During the prayer, we said that the breath of God will make us alive. And when I thought about that this week, and when my kids were little, you used to be able to buy these itsy-bitsy teeny little sponges, and then you'd put them in warm water, and they'd get bigger and bigger. Do you think I could find any of those this week? But what I did find this morning when I came to church in our wonderful craft closet were some dried up old sponges. And it's neat because it looks like a heart. And this is a pretty sad looking heart, isn't it? It's all dried up and it's shriveled and it really doesn't look very happy. But when I put it in the water, it gets nice and big and plump, and it looks much, much happier. And sometimes, I got to tell you, I feel like this dried up old sponge. I don't know if you've ever had a really lousy day and felt like one of these dried up old sponges. But then you take a minute and you think and you ask God to come into your life. And you ask God, can you really help me and help me become a little better and help me become a healthier and a happier person and let me do what you want me to do and fill my life. And so we ask God to come in and fill up our hearts and fill up our lives, and it makes our lives so much better knowing that can happen. And I'm just so glad you're here, and I hope you all have a real happy day, and that God breathes new life into all of your lives. Okay, go back and join your parents, or go to Sunday school where you're going. Thank you.
The first reading of the word today is from Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, breathe from the four winds and breath, breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord.
And our second reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. This week, a video featuring an interview with Syracuse punk rocker Meredith Graves made its way across the interwebs. And she is featured in the What's Underneath project. The project is designed to honor how style is not the clothes you wear, it is the comfort in your own skin. And so Meredith sat with an interviewer. They talked and conversed about body image. And occasionally the interviewer would then ask Meredith to remove an item of clothing. There are a number of amazing videos in this project, including a 62-year-old woman with long, flowing white hair, a plus-size model, and even a few men. And what first caught my attention in the interview with Meredith was the way this young woman in her 20s talked about how long it's taken her to come to terms with the amount of physical space she takes up in the world. Because we are taught from birth to shrink ourselves, erase those fine lines and wrinkles, shrink to sizes, make those varicose veins disappear. The language all around us insists we disappear. We being women for the most part, but the net is cast wide enough to include persons with disabilities, the elderly, the very young, gay, lesbian, transgendered. But there Meredith sits at the end of this interview in her undergarments, talking about life on the road as a musician, sleeping on friends' couches and floors, and how she doesn't really have a place to call home. And so she concludes by saying, "So in my body is a good place to be, because functionally speaking, I know at the end of the day that it's the only home I've ever had. It's the only home I ever will have. So no matter how much I argue with it, at the end of the day, I need to treat it like my home. Home is where you're supposed to feel safest, and home is where love happens. Home is where you're supposed to feel best about yourself." And yet most of us don't feel at home in our bodies. I'm going to imagine that even talking about such matters is causing you to squirm a little bit, if not physically, at least internally. We treat our bodies with such scorn, attentive to every wrinkle and bulge, sag and dimple, scar and aching bone. We are taught simultaneously to loathe and disregard the very nature of our created selves. And we do the same here in worship. Theologian Marcia Mount Shoup describes it as a Protestant problem, Presbyterians being aptly referred to as the frozen chosen. In worship, we stoically pass the offering plate as we stare straight ahead. We silently ignore the flesh and blood existence of the community gathered here. And it's remarkable how even in the meal we profess to enflesh the body of Christ, the experience of the body is ritually reduced down to a minimum. Small, tiny pieces of flavorless bread and even tinier cups of little juice. As Presbyterians, we don't believe that the communion elements, the bread and the juice, actually become the body of Christ. For us, they are signs of the real presence of Jesus in our lives, in our very bodies. These are the symbols of God's actions in and through our lives, because we do believe, as the Gospel of John says, that the Word became flesh and lived among us. What is traditionally referred to as the incarnation, fancy theological word, is the belief that God became human in Jesus. And that belief is often celebrated in these words from the Gospel of John, but typically we only hear them on Christmas, or maybe a Sunday following that many folks don't show up for church anyway. And we love to imagine God embodied in the innocence of a newborn child. But we also know that the Christian narrative doesn't end there. If it were to end with Christmas, it would not reach us in the reality of our own beings. And so it continues. The Word became flesh and lived among us. His flesh dripped with the waters of birth and baptism. His flesh reaching out to possessed bodies and touching those wrought with disease. His flesh hungering at banquets with the rich, meals with sinners, and at the table with his disciples, where he asks us to remember his body broken and the cup of the new covenant poured out for us. His body connecting, healing, nourishing ours in this meal. In our chapter for this week's summer series, from Barbara Brown Taylor's book, An Altar in the World, the title of the chapter is aptly named, The Practice of Wearing Skin. And she reminds us that while our faith affirms the humanity of Jesus from birth to death, and many would argue into resurrection, the Christian tradition has lost confidence in the body. Beginning with the earliest interpreters of Scripture, the Greeks, they divided matters of the body and the soul in ways that Jesus did not. And later, philosophers and theologians and scientists held deep suspicions of physical matters. And we can thank, of course, Freud for much of our current discomfort. But despite these deep divisions and our culture's ongoing attempts to shrink our bodies, what we need to remember is that the Word became flesh. God chose human flesh to call home. Our bodies continue to be home for God's love in this world. In the chapter, Taylor emphasizes the importance of praying naked in front of a full-length mirror. But don't worry, I'm going to err on the side of being the frozen chosen for this morning. What I am going to ask you to do is to take your hands. Look at them. Or feel them. These are your hands. They are like no others. They are created in the image of God. So go ahead and feel those wrinkles along your fingers. the arthritis around your knuckles, those deep crevices around your veins. Run your thumb along the edge of your fingernails. Feel how smooth they are, or jagged from years of fighting them down. Now take a look at those freckles or age spots. Don't forget about the scars. Find those scars and their stories. I can still see the one from fifth grade when a kid bit me during a basketball game. The time I fell over on my bike. Turn them over and feel the calluses from hard work, playing sports, or gardening. Now take a moment to reflect on what your hands have touched or held in the past few days. Fingers that intertwine with your love, rubbing the ears of your faithful furry companion, pressing buttons trying to figure out how to work that cell phone, holding a small hand, a son, a daughter, a grandchild, gripping a plate of food to serve the hungry at Salem, cupping a cool, damp hand of a loved one as they died. About an hour ago, my hands held those who were leaving on the senior high work project. We all held hands and joined together in prayer as they left. This morning, your hands will reach out and touch and rip the bread from the common loaf. Your hands may tremble or have trouble tearing at the loaf. You might be worried that your hands are too little or too big, too weak or too dirty. But whatever you think about your hands, they will hold the body of Christ. You will dip the bread into the cup and taste the grace of God, and a bit of juice may even drip down your fingers or your chin. Friends, the Word became flesh, lived among us, continues to nourish us so that we can be the body of Christ in the world. And we can intellectualize, theologize, or whatever kind of eyes word you want to make up to understand this meal or Jesus' life or God's love. You can loathe and criticize your body. But it's the body that God gave each of us to be the body of Christ in this world. And it doesn't change the fact that God needs our bodies, all of them, to show God's love in the world. Your body, my body, all of our bodies together are God's home in this world. It may be the simplest and yet most challenging of the altars we encounter in this world this summer. In the practice of wearing skin, here's where we begin. With our hands, our feet, our wrinkles and bulges and scars and dimples, and we live assured. It is God's will that these bones live and this flesh embody the love of God in this world, today and always. Thanks be to God. Amen. And friends, now we're going to join together, affirming our faith using the Nicene Creed. If you open your hymnals to page 34, not big number 34 at the top, but small number 34 at the bottom in the front of the hymnal. The Nicene Creed is one of our earliest creeds of the church and affirms our belief in the incarnation. Friends, let us confess the faith of the church, universal church, together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now we'll turn to the big number, 27. This is a new hymn, but it's very fitting for what we have been talking about this morning, Sacred the Body. And our accompanist this morning, Bryn, we're glad to welcome you this morning. She is going to play it all the way through once and do that good pause that lets us know it's coming. So follow along. Let us stand and sing together. Thank you.
may be seated. Thank you, Bryn. That was excellent. And friends, at this time, I invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern. A reminder to keep the microphone close to your mouth so all can hear those prayers you share.
Jenny Smith, last week I asked you to pray for Fred and that God would give him peace. He listened and he did. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Amen. And our prayers continue. Jenny, for the whole family. Let us continue our time of prayer. We thank you, incarnate God, for the vulnerable yet wonderful gift of life. To be alive and to know it is an unspeakable honor. We thank you that from start to finish, our life is precious in your sight. May we always praise you for it. Word that became flesh and whose spirit gives breath to the valley of dry bones, whose touch healed the lame and whose word raised the dead. Hear our prayers today for those who are afflicted by sorrow and illness, by injustice and by despair, by fear and weakness. Breathe into their hearts, touch their bodies, and speak their names and bring new life to them. This morning, we hold in prayer those who have been in the hospital this week, Bruce Rooker and Cheryl Battaglia, for those who are mourning, for the friends and family of Fred Buff, for those suffering in the midst of violence happening in Israel and Palestine and other nations in the Middle East. Lord, hear our prayer. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. In the name and in the words that he taught us, we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship this morning by celebrating our gifts offered back to God.
Let us pray. We dedicate this money, Lord, for the work of the church, and we ask that you use all that we have and all that we are in your service. Amen.
Amen. be seated. The one to whom we turn our flesh and blood lives over to has invited us to this table. So whoever you are and however you feel this morning, whatever reasons you are here, come to the feast. Whatever your condition, whatever brokenness, hurts, and dry bones you feel, know that it is our host who teaches, is the one who heals, and the one who welcomes. Our Savior invited all those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Friends, we are the body of Christ. His Spirit is with us. Let us lift up our hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Blessed are you, O God, who is and was and is to come, the beginning and the end. Blessed are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus, born to proclaim the gospel of grace, to overcome the world's deceiver and unveil for us our ancient destiny. We bless you for Christ, who was wounded and died for our freedom, and yet is alive forever, who guides us to life's wellspring that we may receive from it freely and be strengthened to endure in hope until the powers of evil are thrown down and death itself is destroyed. Then you will have made all things new, O God, and mourning and crying and pain will be no more. And so we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and place, calling upon you with hope. Holy, 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 God our God, heaven and earth behold your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who provides the way out of sin and death. Hosanna in the highest.
In this place we celebrate flesh and blood life born at Bethlehem. The life Jesus shared with his friends and throughout his community. The life he shares with us now in this meal. As we remember his life and death, as we come to the table of the resurrection, we speak of that mystery we call faith.
Christ died, witness to the world.
Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will come, blessing us forever.
Come and brood over these bodily things, O God, this bread and this cup. May they be for us a celebration, a reminder, a thanksgiving of the body and blood of Christ, healing, renewing, and making us whole. Come and embrace us with your life-giving power, that as this bread and wine are made one with us, we may become one with you, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. Come and make of your gathered people the real presence of Christ for the world, living our prayer and praying our life till earth and heaven are reconciled, and all are free as Christ is free. Amen. Friends, we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, brought his friends together around a similar table. And on the night before he gave himself to the authorities for his own death, so that they may remember and know how God's bread gives strength, he took the common bread and made it holy. Just as he takes us, common people, and makes us holy. To remember, he asks that we repeat this act again and again. And he did to them by saying, This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread, and he poured it so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new. Faith you wouldn't have even known how to ask for. Faith that will sustain. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." We break the bread and we drink from the cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, for the promises of new life that are for all of us and this entire world. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let our communion servers now come forward. And as the music begins and you feel comfortable and called, please come celebrate at this table.
Let us pray. Generous God, we rejoice in the gifts of grace and faithfulness you offer us in this sacred meal. May we in turn open our lives to be bearers of good news, where we may journey and with whomever we may meet. Amen.
Our bodies, very broken, very blessed, filled with the nourishment and love of God. So go to live as loved and blessed people in this world with the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit to get up to do it again, even when it hurts. Alleluia. Amen. Thank you.